wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
And we are live from the Impact Media Studio West in an undisclosed location. You guys could probably figure it out if you had GPS. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome in to another great edition of Sports Club. The time is now. We will talk about what time that is. But joining me at this time, of course, is the King AT Alien himself, Mr. Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
Doing good, Jeremy. How are you, man? Good to be back on.
I'm,
2 weeks
I'm
in a row,
pretty
man.
Good. I know. It's starting to be a pattern.
Hey.
And also joining us all the way out from Impact Media Studio, really West, which is an undisclosed closet in his house. He is the Superman, Cody Elias. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, I'm great, but Reggie, welcome back, brother.
Cody. Yes, sir. How you doing,
How are
brother?
You, man? I'm all right,
hey,
you know.
Living
Jimmy Garoppolo's off for the year,
know, like,
so I got really nothing to look forward to.
No, you do. We're gonna address that, Cody. I think there's a few things that you know are staring the 49ers in the face on that, but you know we'll get
I think
to that.
So too.
Yeah, I mean it's especially maybe even that one person that we talk about probably more than almost anybody else on this show, that if he were to come on this show, he's among friends at this point. You know, that guy.
Yep. I would agree. I think Carolina Panthers might have opened the door for that person. What you think?
Yeah. I was about to say, you know what? Let's go ahead and start there because I think that is what – let's start there. That's the big story, obviously, because it dropped today. And as soon – I knew – before the update hit my phone, I had a handful of football fans around me that said, hey, did you hear what Carolina did? I put down what I had. I said, well, this
yep.
got to be important. These people never asked me this. But, yeah, let's start there. Obviously, for people who don't know, the Carolina Panthers have hired Eric Reed, otherwise known as 1B, I guess, in the protest wars that begun. We'll get to 1A, who deserves his own segment. But I agree that now that for one, everybody needs defensive backs. I'm a little miffed that the hometown Falcons didn't maybe try to give him an opportunity.
I was going to say that. That's on my rant list. So go ahead. I was about to say,
you know, the new studio, we don't have all the music up yet, but you know, if you want to walk the line segment today, just give us a heads up and we'll let that go.
Oh man. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to need one, but anyway.
Okay. But yeah, they were able to bring in Eric Reed, who can help any defensive backing core for sure, especially in the safety region, but he can cover people if he needs to. And like we said, that's 1B. Before we get to 1A, Cody, I'm going to throw it to you real quick. What do you think of the Panthers bringing in Mr. Reed?
I think I like the move of bringing back Eric Reed. You know, he had an okay year last year for the Niners. They were really bad last year on defense, and bringing back Eric Reed wasn't really the right fit for their defense going forward. And, you know, there was a report out today that they were looking at, you know, they seriously considered bringing him back on a multi-year deal, but they're banged up secondary too. Richard Sherman's not going to play. Jaquaski Tartt might not play. Their secondary is banged up bad. Adrian Colbert, their other safety, might not play. So I can see why Carolina did it, but I kind of agree with Reggie. I'm surprised the Falcons, after losing Keanu Neal and Ricardo Allen, did not make a run at him. That's a little surprising to me.
And, Reggie, what do you think about all this?
I will offer another point that I actually heard today that is a little risque, but just follow me. I had a fan tell me that he understood why Atlanta could not make a run for that. So two things to that. Mm. A, Atlanta prides itself on this brotherhood concept, right? And although Mr. Blank has been one of the more vocal, the more liberal, I should say, owners as it relates to this protest, the geography of Atlanta would not have fared well. And when I say the statistics that comprise Atlanta would not have fared well for possibly a protest of that magnitude. Meaning, this guy gets out and does what he did in San Francisco, it's going to have far-reaching, much more far-reaching aspects in Atlanta than it would somewhere less from a demographic perspective. So I understood that point. Now, from a talent perspective, it didn't make sense to me at all. It's like Cody said. Listen, we're down Keanu Neal. We are down Ricardo Allen. You're down to Casey, who, you know, you never know what he's going to do from game to game. This guy, downside, down year or not, was a first-round draft pick that San Francisco gave up. What do you guys give up, a first and a third or something to get this guy? All the talent in the world.
Yeah, so.
Right, something ridiculous. But, again, he couldn't have done anything but help your team. But when I was presented with this other case, I actually had to think through it. And I'm interested to get Coach Hill, and he, Jeremy, I texted you, he said he's going to join here in a bit. But I'm interested to get his take on it from that other perspective, right? Because we haven't talked about that part of it, in that the demographics of Atlanta might not have been – it might have been a powder keg, man. I mean, and that's not what we're looking for in a Super Bowl year, trying to get there, the Super Bowl here in Atlanta – So forth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll just leave that there as kind of my thought on that.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because, yeah, we are avoiding saying the 1A name for now because, I, like I said, I want to dedicate a lot of time to that too. But, yeah, with Eric,
right.
I understand why Atlanta wouldn't do that, especially in a year like this, because even if they did bring in Mr. 1A, as he's referred to for the rest of the segment, you have that same. You're going to have that same backlash because I very much think that this Atlanta team could use either one of them, especially competition behind old number two, as we always talk about. But
although this number two is playing like this is the number two I think we've been looking to see for a long time. But I know we'll get to that. But anyway, finish your thought.
Oh yeah. Well, where I was going to go with it is. This is also Carolina stealing some thunder because they know that Atlanta could use somebody like this, but they also know, like you said, basically having Coach on, if he's able to join us here, he'll get into the business side of this. And to kind of summarize what that business side is, if the NFL is a business like we all know it is, I'm going to steal the thunder of my neighbor knowing that my neighbor can't afford to do the move I'm going to do, which is basically what they did here. Yes, they need his services. But they also know Atlanta needed them more, but Atlanta wasn't going to bring them in. So they're going to go, well, that's your loss. Now you got to see him twice the rest of this year.
Right. That I think it was more to your point than it was the fact that they actually needed him. I think they got him so that Atlanta would – and that tells me that Atlanta was most likely really strongly considering getting him, right? And I think that's probably why they did get him. Is to take him off the board, right? It's no different than Michael Bennett. The Eagles go get Michael Bennett, but he's not starting, right? It's like, okay, why go get him and you don't start him? It's to keep other teams from, him from wrecking havoc on them, vis-a-vis the Cowboys or whomever else is in their division, right? So,
yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, because I could have seen – Carolina does make sense. Usually this would be a move Tampa would do. This would be a move New Orleans would do.
Right.
New Orleans can't afford to do it because cap-related and stuff like that. That I don't think New Orleans had the capital to be able to make a move like this, no matter what the cost. I don't think there was room in that locker room for him as far as that. Kind of surprised Tampa didn't try to do it to take the focus off
they don't
the
have
quarterback
the
issue
either.
They're going to have. Oh, they don't?
Yeah, they don't have the cap either. No,
okay.
They don't.
Because, see, they could use a distraction like this to take the focus off of the quarterback dilemma they're in.
Wait, you're telling me that Eric Reed couldn't have stopped Vance McDonald on that long touchdown run where Chris Conley got stiff-armed 400 yards on the field?
Look, and now apparently isn't he on IR now or something crazy?
Yeah, he is. He got put on IR.
Wow. Guess he has a fractured fractured set of feelings.
I mean, the one thing with Eric Reed too is with the Niners last year, they kind of gave up on him as a safety. They started having him play linebacker towards the end of the season because they were so depleted in the linebacking corps that they had him play kind of like a monster back kind of deal. And he did a nice job at it, but they ultimately felt like they were growing on their safety position with Jaquaski Tartt and Adrian Colbert, and they have Exum Jr. They have some nice young players that they think and hope can grow in that position, and that's why they let Eric go. His brother Justin played right down the street at Stanford, and they had a chance to draft him, and they passed on him too. So I don't know if they didn't want to deal with the distraction, but it just I don't think they needed him right now, and you know they already had they had the run at Reed last year, and then. I would have liked to see him come back because they could have used a veteran leadership now that Richard Sherman's going to be out for a couple weeks. But I mean, Kyle Shanahan said that you know they were looking to go in a different direction. Even though I did see, like I said earlier, that they were one of the teams that considered giving him a multi-year deal, but they ultimately just didn't pull the trigger on it. Just like Jeremy's been mentioning, he's not saying by name, but with Kaepernick, Kyle Shanahan came out earlier this week and said pretty much that you know they weren't going to sign him because he doesn't fit their offense. He said the same thing last year and the same thing this year. He Cap didn't fit the offense. It had nothing to do with the demonstrating. It had nothing to do with the protesting, anything. It just he didn't fit the offense, and he was very candid and honest. That's how he's been.
Yeah, I don't believe that. And I'll say this for the Eric Reed situation out there in San Francisco. I mean, how much of it was the fact that again they've got a collusion case right against the NFL, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how that's going to play out now with Eric Reed. But then two. I mean, how much of his performance, Cody, was affected by everything going on, right? It's pretty hard to perform when you're in that type of scenario, right? Where everything around you is just a powder keg. So,
and, you know,
with the Kaepernick situation.
I mean, he started 12 games last year for the Niners, and he had two picks, and he was don't get me wrong, I love Eric Reed when he played for the Niners, but. You know, I think they felt like, you know, he's going to be 20. He's 27 now, and I felt like they maybe thought they could, you know, go better if they went younger. And I don't completely agree because I'm not completely sold on Jaquaski Tartt and some of the other guys, and Adrian Colbert, who they drafted late from Miami. But, you know, I'm not saying that Eric Reed couldn't have helped these kids grow, but, you know, he was here last year, and he did what he could. But, like I said, they ultimately want to move in a new direction. But I would love to see him come back because they could use the veteran leadership on that defense. Their defense is terrible. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. If I could curse as much as I could, I would. Their defense can't tackle. They can't stop anyone. And now that Sherman's hurt and Reuben Foster came back and he got hurt in the game that he came back. So they need playmakers all over the field. And I think Eric Reed would have been a good playmaker. I just feel like they – I don't know if it was – I don't think it had anything to do with the distraction. I just don't think they wanted Eric Reed back.
Yeah, and I say this, and now this will be the last I'll say on it. I think – for those distraction reasons were the same reasons that Atlanta didn't sign him, right? It wasn't that he couldn't help them. He obviously could have. I mean, you lose both your starting safeties. This guy is a safety and not just some special teams player, right? There's no reason in the world that you don't seriously take a look at this guy. I think at the end of the day, it's about the distraction. I mean, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to acknowledge it, but it is. They didn't want to deal with the headache of if this guy comes out and kneels during the anthem, which he most certainly will, probably, how do we now deal with that? Right? I mean, he tweeted when he signed a contract, his fist raised. So you already know what he's going to do. Right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's cutting your nose to spite your face, in my opinion. But I get it. It's the business side of football. Thanks to – I'll stop there.
With the Bay Area, with living in the Bay Area, I know how liberal it is out here. And Jed York – if you remember, Jed York abstained from the vote when they had the anthem vote back in May. And,
yep.
You know, he said he wanted to hear more from the players. So it has nothing to do with Jed – I don't think it has anything to do with Jed York and the ownership of the Niners not wanting Gary Greed back. I think it's more of a performance-based thing, and they saw that he was kind of tailing off at – going into his, you know, late 20s, and they just didn't want to bring him back, so that's why they let him go. Because they had every opportunity to re-sign him, every opportunity to bring him back, and they never did. They picked other guys over him, and, you know, it's unfortunate because he was beloved here, even after the anthem protest with Cap. And, you know, Eli Harold was another guy that was kneeling during the protest, and, you know, they traded him, but that was another performance-based thing, you know, that they say. I'm not a conspiracy theorist on that. I think that it was more of a performance-based thing with Eli Harold as well. But I think just with Reed, it was he was kind of digressing his career, and they feel like moving on for younger guys, and I'm hoping he does well for Carolina because Carolina could use it. But
it's gonna be interesting this next game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, we did for a second. I think he'll be back on. He had a weird connection going on a second ago. But to answer your part, Reggie, you said about the collusion case that Eric Reed still has. He dropped the message today that his signing had nothing to do with the collusion case. The collusion case is still going. It's still ongoing at this point. There was no prenup, is a good way to put it.
Okay.
There was no agreement that if he signs with somebody or if he signed with the Panthers that he would drop the collusion case.
He dropped that case. Yeah.
No, he didn't drop it at all.
Yeah.
It's still ongoing.
That's extremely interesting, Dan, because I don't know much about the Carolina owner, and I know you don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but I don't know much about the Carolina owner. But I don't know what side of the fence he was on as far as this debate.
He wants to be aggressive and he wants to be progressive is, I think, what he's wanting to do, because he was one of the minority owners with the Steelers for a long time. He was finally able to buy their team. I think he's more of those new age guys. He's wanting to be the crest of the wave instead of riding back with everybody else. So I could kind of see him.
Okay.
He's not going to be Jerry Jones like as to that. You know, I'm going to be that off the reservation, so to say. But he's going to be one of those progressive thinkers, I think, that's like, well, we've always done it this way. What if we think about this other way?
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's interesting, though. And I'm surprised at that, though, to be honest, man, and that, you know, that level of, you know, the collusion case was not a part of, hey, we're going to sign you, but you either got to drop this thing or, you know, the whole kneeling situation, which – maybe Nike had a lot to do with that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's a great campaign, by the way. And I'm not, you know, I've never been the biggest Nike fan. I do own a couple Nike things. I can't lie. I found a really great Nike polo that I got at Goodwill, actually. It was just too good of a deal. Happened to be the day after the Kaepernick news, which was just funny because we all know I'm probably the least political of anybody on the show. But because a lot of people said, well, here, you know, this happened with Kaepernick and he signed this. And so what did you guys do in response? And I responded to the guy and I said, I bought a Nike shirt today. And I said, but it had nothing to do with this. It was just a good deal.
Right. And I think that's the way you have to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I honestly had not heard the news yet. I was walking through Goodwill. It's a nice polo that I wanted to wear. I don't own a lot of Nike stuff, so when you see a deal like that, you got to jump on it.
Yeah, and I'll say this with everyone else, I'll say this to anyone who knows, who doesn't know Impact. He is as genuine as it gets, and he really does not get involved.
I'm
he's
one
a
of
live
the...
and let live type of guy. Yep.
Exactly. I'm a very straight shooter, and I try to stay that way as possible. Whatever I tell you, I'm straight up about everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, on to brighter pastures.
well, kind of, because Cody is back with us now. Welcome back, Cody.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. I ran out of Skype minutes, so funds were low, and I had to go run to the old wallet and. You know, I just sold my old car today,
man.
So I actually was able to put some more dollar bills in my bank account.
I thought you were actually going to tell us that you tipped the driver.
Yeah, no, I wish.
You know,
that's not happening.
Reggie, maybe you can verify this. Was Cody around yet when kind of early on with this show, and it kind of carried on in the last few years, every time one of us would drop off, kind of the running joke was is that somebody had to go pay the pizza delivery guy, and that's why they weren't on.
Yep.
So
No, he wasn't on. He wasn't around then.
Okay.
But that is the
right. I think since the last time that happened, I think it was right before you got with us, but.
Well, I thought Skype kicked me off because my take was too hot, and that's why they cut me off.
It could be because, you know, here on Sports Club, we finally do have a pretty decent tagline. We tell everybody the Sports Club is open for you, serving cool debates and hot takes. I figured that sounded pretty good.
I mean, hot takes are everywhere. I mean, my morning show that I produce is built on hypotheticals and hot takes.
Exactly. I wanted to throw this Kaepernick thing out real quick because I feel like we're going to talk a lot about him in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we would all like to see Kaepernick back in the league. Obviously, we all understand the business aspects as to why certain teams couldn't do it. But even as I kind of scroll through right now the list of NFL teams, all 32, there's not really a good landing spot for him now that we know that he threw out the tagline, which is a good – he's saving Kyle Shanahan in this, and he's saving John Lynch from having to say anything. The 49ers really are the only place that if he landed would make total sense. Everybody else has a quarterback because he has to be the starter wherever he goes or this doesn't make sense. He's not going to sign somewhere to be a backup at this point.
And that was my point. When I thought about it, and just based on what Cody was saying, it made a lot of sense. I mean, that's one thing Shanahan has been constant with or consistent with, even in the way they went and traded for Garoppolo. They let it be known the door was closed on Cap. But there's nowhere that I can think of that he actually is needed. You know, when I think about it, it's everybody has somebody. I mean, you can speculate on a few places, like maybe Arizona, but in the end – there's really no way he's needed right now. So you're right.
It's just that weird time of year. We're going to have to wait on, unfortunately, a couple more starters to get hurt before you start to go there or there.
Right.
That's as much as we'll say up to this point. The first 20 minutes or so of the show dedicated to 1A and 1B. AK known Kaepernick and Eric Reed. Do want to say congratulations to Reed on signing. And as I know it's harder now that he's signed with Carolina, but if Mr. Reed or Mr. Kaepernick would ever want to be a guest on this show, they are among friends. They know we are on their side for the most part of this entire issue, and they are welcome to join us anytime.
Well, hey, you know what? Actually, I just found this because I had it in my email. I actually have Kyle Shanahan's direct quote when he was asked about bringing Kaepernick back, if you guys want to hear it.
Okay.
He said, the question was, has there been any discussion in the organization about bringing back Colin Kaepernick? And he said, no. I mean, there was last year, and I think I made the decision just with the style of offense that we wanted to go with. That's kind of what I said last year, and now it's kind of the same situation now. If you're thinking of there be a different discussion now, I always look into what style of offense I want to do, what style of offense we've been doing for the last 2 years. When you start to get to these quarterbacks we're talking about, CJ is our guy. We have Nick Mullins backing him up. So when you get into a third and fourth guy, whoever it is, you like to bring in guys you felt you didn't have to change as much your offense for. So pretty much he's saying that he didn't want to have to change his offense for Kaepernick, which makes sense. He said this last year too. So if everyone thinks that he doesn't want to bring him in because of for other reasons, it's not. It's just he doesn't fit his offense.
Yeah.
No, I get that. And he doesn't. Even in the way that I think about when he was here in Atlanta, I mean, Matt Ryan was lights out with this guy, but Matt Ryan is a passer. Kaepernick's not a passer. He's just not. I mean, say what you want.
No.
He can pass the ball, but that's not his strength, right? So,
no, he's an RPO.
You're right. He just doesn't fit. Yeah, he doesn't fit. He's an RPO. You're right.
No, that being said quickly, because I know we want to move on, but if it was up to me and I wanted to pick between Colin Kaepernick and C.J. Beathard, I would probably go with Colin Kaepernick because, I mean, the arm strength is there. The accuracy is not there. But his ability to run, like you said, the run pass option. I mean, look at the NFL. The NFL is becoming a spread offense league, and you're seeing that with Patrick Mahomes throwing 5 touchdowns every game. So you're seeing the offense, you know, the constant maturation of the offense in the NFL, and with the way the spread's going, and the run pass option, like the Eagles run and everything. I think Kaepernick still has a place. It's just he needs to find the right spot, and unfortunately, it's not here in San Francisco/Santa Clara.
Right. And you know, I'm glad you mentioned C.J. Beathard because I want to throw that out. C.J. Beathard started a handful of games last year for the 49ers until they brought in Garoppolo. He's not an awful player. He's actually pretty good. He can steer the ship and keep you from sinking. He's going to be a great quality backup. That's why they made sure to keep him in town. So, you know, shout out to C.J. Beathard, because it's not that you're a bad player. It's just they put so much into Jimmy Garoppolo that it makes it look like they were in panic mode for a minute.
Well, yeah, he was one and four last year last year as a starter, at, you know, filling in when they benched Brian Hoyer and before they got Garoppolo in here. And I mean, let's call a spade. He got his ass kicked because their offensive line was so bad. I mean, he was taking a beating every week and hit, and he earned the respect of the locker room because the way he kept taking hits and coming back, and then they brought in Garoppolo. And Garoppolo, you know, they kind of rushed him into it because they wanted to win some games. And, you know, you saw they went 5-0. But Beathard, the first play of the game against Kansas City, they bring him in. He throws a dime on fourth down, on fourth and goal, and they score. But they call it a really flaky, fluky offensive pass interference call on Kyle Juszczyk. So, I mean, I think he only had that one pass because the Chiefs just ran the clock out pretty much. But, I mean, he's a serviceable back. He's a serviceable backup. I don't think he's a starter in the league, but they really don't have any other options. And Kyle Shanahan's not going to rebuild his entire offense around a guy. He's going to bring in, like, Tom Savage or Landry Jones. Shout out the great Steeler backup. But as a Niner fan, we have Beathard for the rest of the year, and we'll see what he does. He's a serviceable backup. He was decent at Iowa, although he didn't have to throw the ball a lot. So I'm interested to see what he does in year two. And hopefully he doesn't take as many hits because, I mean, that guy just took a pounding last year. And it was almost like David Carr-esque. Remember when David Carr used to get on the ground every other play. And it was just embarrassing. But hopefully, you know, I'm hoping he does okay. The expectations have been tampered, I mean, pretty much the whole way down here because of the Garoppolo injury. But I think people still want to see Beathard play. And you know, I'm willing to give him a chance, you know, even as a fan. And I know what he did last year. So I'm kind of excited to see what he has to do.
That's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say even with Beathard, you know, it'd be different if he's got, like, that running back, right, or that premier running back or that premier defense, right, that can kind of keep him afloat a la Alex Smith. But that's not the case, and this guy's not a savior. So it's going to be a long year for San Francisco.
Well, you're right, it is. And they had the running back, but Jerick McKinnon, right before the start of the season, this is ACL. So there goes your top free agent acquisition, and then your quarterback 3 weeks later goes out with an ACL injury too. So their offense, and you're not getting much out of Pierre Garçon, who you signed to be your veteran leader. So they need some guys to step up, and I think guys like George Kittle will have a big week this week. But you're right, it's going to be a long year, and I think everyone expects that. And, I mean, it's been a long year for the Raiders too. So Bay Area football is not off to a great start after 3 weeks.
Well, and you guys also know that not only the fans and listeners of the show, when they try to request either answers to things or request that we get certain people on to hear takes and such like that, Reggie, I'm gonna do you a solid here and bring on the coach. Hey, Woodhill, how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, guys. How y'all doing?
We are doing pretty good. As I sent that message to you on text, we just spent the last 25 minutes or so talking about Eric Reed signing with the Panthers, and then ultimately, as much as we want to see Kaepernick in the league, based off the fact he needs to be a starter, and the 49ers being the only real spot we see that needed a quarterback at the moment, there's just no room for him in the league right now.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point that you guys were having. I was listening to the conversation that was taking place. And first of all, it's great to see Eric Reed is back into the league. But then with Kaepernick, you know, there's a slippery slope with that. And unfortunately, some teams are going to have to really start reevaluating what they're doing as far as that position is concerned, more especially with Kaepernick getting out there. And if you remember last year, this was one of the biggest arguments that took place in Baltimore with the Ravens. With him coming in and with them wanting to bring him in, that former general manager wanting to bring him in, and Ozzie Newsome and the owner feeling a particular type of way about it. So now, at this point, I think that the league has to start looking at that he's presenting himself as a commodity, and he's just that. And as a result of him being a commodity now, they got to start rethinking what they want to do with that. Do they want to continue to hold on to their position with this, or do they want to do something a little bit different now, being that he's proven that, you know, he's still viable out in the business world when it comes to endorsement. So now it's going to be interesting to see. And he's still healthy and he has a resume that proves that he's worthy of a starting position. So over the next couple of weeks, it's going, you know, does the NFL hold this position? I don't know how long they can legitimately hold their position. But again, you know, that is always up to the discretion of the owners, and when they get together and they meet and they make those type of decisions. But again, I don't think we can deny that there is room for a Kaepernick in the NFL, for sure.
No, you cannot. I just, again, Coach, I wanted to ask you this question around what your take was from the business side of things. How does Eric Reed sign a contract or even cap without dropping the collusion case? I mean, how is that even a possibility?
It's called having great attorneys. He has great attorneys. And remember, the judge already said that there was enough evidence to move forward with this. So, therefore, yes, you know, with that being stated, the judge had the opportunity to make that statement. Remember, this wasn't a jury trial. This was all based on the discretion of the judge. And the judge the judge found that there was enough evidence to move forward and proceed. So, therefore, at that point, really, I think the NFL had to start trying to backtrack a little bit because, again, that's what the judge is saying. So, obviously, there must be something they're warranting the ability to continue to move forward with the collusion.
Right. Wow.
Well, and also think about this. I just thought about the fact that with it happening in Carolina, remember they have a brand new owner. We were talking about the owner. This is a brand new owner. So as far as the new owner is concerned, if the case is against something that happened before he got there, then he can go, well, that's between you and Jerry Richardson. That's not between you and me. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't collude anything against you. So that's probably why he's like, I have no problem in bringing you in or signing you because it won't reflect on us whatsoever. It's all in the past.
Well, it doesn't exonerate him, does it, Coach Hill, whether he's a new owner or not, right? I mean, he still is liable because he's an owner of the machine that is the NFL.
No, it doesn't give him anything off the hook per se, but because he's the new rookie owner, it might have been one of those situations where they got together and said, well, this is the decision that makes it easier and look best for the league overall. If we're going to move forward with this, that you be the team that can do this, the
scapegoat,
and the owner that
gotcha.
Can do this.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Because remember now, every owner has already. Correct. Remember, every owner has already taken their position, whether that's been silently or publicly. But in the room of what I call the BBC, the Billionaire Boys Club, for the lack of a better term, they all went into that room as owners and made certain decisions and voiced their opinions of how they felt about whether it be Kaepernick, collusion, whatever. They all meet and they've had that meeting, so they've already kind of basically each owner knows what the other owners are thinking or how they felt or how they voiced their opinion. The only owner that wasn't in that room at that time or was an alternate in the room just so that they would be privy to some of the information moving forward would be the new ownership in Carolina.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. Well.
By the way, Coach and Reggie, I was also thinking of this too with the Panthers. David Tepper's their owner now who replaced Jerry Richardson. Tepper learned he was the he was an owner under the Steelers with Dan Rooney and Art Rooney. And what are the Rooneys known for? The Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
So bringing in Eric Reed is you know, I think it's just it's building off of the idea of the Rooney Rule and bringing a guy in who they figured they deserve another chance and they brought him in. So I could see this, like Carolina did this, and I literally just thought of that as Coach was talking that I forgot that Tepper was part owner of the Steelers and then he went down to Carolina. So it's a great move by Carolina. I'm glad he's back. This is just another reason why the Steelers organization is so heavily regarded in the NFL circles, and this is kind of hopefully that's what Carolina is kind of building towards by bringing in Eric Reed.
Right. I mean, coupled with the fact that I think this guy is just a heck of a player. I mean, I think he's going to help them out tremendously. And, again, I'll re-echo my sentiment. I don't understand why Atlanta didn't pull the trigger, much like with Jordy Nelson. I mean, those are two guys that – anyway. I digress.
Well, to answer that question, Reggie, go back to my statement previously, and that is some owners voiced their opinion while they were in the room. Yeah. No one knows in the public sector what that opinion might have been, but I think when there was an opportunity to go get players and players are not being picked up, I think
not saying something is also saying something. So silence also is a voice.
Right. Right. Gotcha.
At some point, as we're getting off this now, look at this, 30 minutes we spent on this. It's a bigger story this, but I'm glad we had the time to give it. But, Cody, I'll get with you at some point. We got a breaking down bite on here. Breaking news, Patrick Mahomes is thrown for 2 touchdowns in the time we just talked about that entire segment.
I mean, the spread offense is taking over the league. I told you guys, just watch out.
Yeah.
He's going to – He might throw 20 touchdowns if he throws an interception with the way he's going and the way those defenses are playing in the AFC West besides Denver's defense with Von Miller. I mean, the Chargers defense, I mean, they're here. He torched them. Good God, I can only imagine what he's going to do to the Raiders defense when they play them, because their defense, they're all right. But when you don't have a pass rush because you trade your best pass rusher away, and then you bring it up every week that you traded your best pass rusher away, you're going to probably be torched by Patrick Mahomes. So – I love watching that kid play. It's great because I loved him at Texas Tech. I think he learned from a great – he's not a great coach, but I think he learned from a good coach in Cliff Kingsbury. And it's carrying over. Andy Reid built that system around Mahomes, and look, and it's showing that the spread offense is going to start taking over the NFL.
This isn't the Kingsbury that played for Seattle, was it?
Well, he played at Texas Tech. In the NFL, I got to see where he – I'll look it up real quick.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a couple Kingsbury's. That's why, with him looking it up, I'll give it a second.
Are you thinking of Dave Kingman?
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of Kingman. That's what I'm thinking of. Yep.
Okay. That's what you're thinking of, yep.
If you guys ever get a chance, look up Cliff Kingsbury. He looks like Ryan Gosling. That's his doppelganger, Ryan Gosling.
Wow. Well, while we're all sitting on our phones for that, two things real quick. We can get into either one of these or both. Clay Matthews gets flagged again for basically doing his job, and even though I understand the new rules say that you can't do that, but at some point, what are these defenders supposed to do? Just walk up and touch you on the shoulder and go, "Hey, I attacked him," and then B. I don't know if you guys noticed on Thursday Night Football last week, as we gear up to watch it here in a minute, the Browns were playing okay under Tyrod Taylor, but as soon as they found out, as soon as the team found out that Tyrod has a concussion, or air quotes concussion, I'm still not 100% on that one, as soon as they found out Baker Mayfield was coming in, their spirits raised up. They really want to for this guy, which should excite Browns fans. If the rest of the team wants to play for this guy, then he's something.
Yeah, I just wish that he had, I knew he had to do it the way that he did it, but the way that he embraced the question when asked about Baker, he was like, "Did you feel the energy?" I mean, he was just like night and day. Right about Baker as he was with Tyrod. However he pronounced
Tyrod.
It. But nonetheless,
Rod.
I wish he had just named Baker the starter from day one, honestly, because it makes him seem like a flake a bit. Now, I don't like that for Hugh Jackson, because I think he's a stand-up guy. I just think, he got Tyrod not knowing what was going to happen in the draft, right, or whatever.
Right.
Right, and then you pick this guy up, and then you see what he's like, and it's like, oh man! If he knew Baker was going to be what he was, I don't think Tyrod's even in Cleveland, right? But, it was interesting to see the post game comments that Hugh Jackson made about him. I think he's going to be scary as a quarterback because, like you said, these guys believe in him, and it was like night and day once he came into the game. So I'm not looking forward to Atlanta being up there here in the next few weeks.
Now, speaking of Hugh, before you chime in, I'm trying to find – there was something earlier, and it may be one of those things. Oh, here it is. All right, so this comes out from Adam Schefter a couple hours ago. He says, quarterback Tyrod Taylor, rather, doesn't matter at this point, cleared concussion protocol this week, but head coach Hugh Jackson says he is unsure whether Taylor or Drew Stanton, he's still in the league, can't tie his shoes and throw straight. Drew Stanton, where Taylor or Drew Stanton will back up Baker Mayfield in Oakland on Sunday. Hugh Jackson just basically says thanks, but no thanks to Ride. We're probably going to release you.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying him a lot of money, man.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a lot of money they're paying that guy. So,
well,
wow.
We'll get to the bottom of it tomorrow when Coach Hugh Jackson joins our show at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. So set your dials. Hugh Jackson, 9:30 tomorrow morning.
We'll probably be trying to fit in a lunch break about that time. So that sounds about right, about 12:30 for all of our listeners here. Right out on the other side of lunch there. You need to tune in to 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area.
Shameless self-promotion. If you want 10:45 Eastern, LaDainian Tomlinson will be joining the program.
Oh.
Nice.
I mean, it helps playing with, you know, working with Lorenzo Neal, who helped get LT into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Lo Neal is going to lead him into the plan again.
Well, one of the things, guys, I wanted to add to the Cleveland Browns situation is that, again, everyone is always excited when they have a number one draft pick in at quarterback. And there's the players have a way of what I call silent protest. They, if you remember when Michael Vick went to Philly, the same thing happened. They wanted a change at the position. When he came in, guys were diving for football, making miraculous catches. They were blocking like they were the Great Wall of China. And then when they wanted to change again, for whatever the reason that they felt, then you start seeing Michael Vick getting hit, you know, unbelievably that he's even walking straight to this day. So the offensive line has a way, and players have a way of kind of saying what they want to see. What I don't want people to do is to fall so quickly in love with Baker because, again, he's no different than a Dak Prescott when he entered into the league. They don't have a lot of
– They don't have any film on him.
From a pro perspective, and in the next couple of weeks, I mean, everybody's excited, and don't get me wrong, the kid is playing well now, but let's see what happens, you know, come November, December, when it's crunch time, when it makes the difference of making the playoffs. And I look at all quarterbacks, and that's why they pay, going back to the Tyrod Taylor situation, that's why they paid him that kind of money, because of the experience of being a quarterback who's been in the league for some time. So they basically pay for the smaller learning curve. Remember,
unless you're Kirk Cousins.
Right. How does Baker Mayfield respond when he gets the first pick six against him? Or he goes three and outs three times in a row. So some of the psychological pieces have not fallen into place yet for this young man. Now, again, he's a great athlete, and I think he's going to have a decent career in the NFL based on where he's starting his career. But let's just be honest. If he'd have been on anybody else's team right now, he probably would have come in as a backup if he didn't go that high in the draft. So,
yep.
I'm interested to see what he's going to look like in game 4 and 5 versus just 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. So I want to see a few more games under his belt before I make a true assessment on where he is as a quarterback in his rookie year.
They're beating the Raiders this weekend. You can mark it down, lock it. You can. As we call it, a funeral take, you can bury me. The Browns are beating the Raiders this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know what? Stranger things have happened. I thought some things were going to happen different this weekend. Last weekend as well with a few teams, and it turned out quite different.
Shout out Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, not even that one. I was going to go this route where somehow Tennessee and Jacksonville decided to play kickball and not football as the Titans won that one 9-6. And when I saw the score, because I didn't even know the game was on at that point, I was watching some different games. I saw 9-6, and I guess they decided to play football, or I mean they decided to play anything but football. Maybe they played kickball, they played checkers. I'm not sure what happened. Have you guys ever seen two teams do something like this?
Two words.
Yep.
Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
the problem is he's the tight back option. Mark Mariota can't grip a football.
Yeah, I mean, but that was because he had to come in, right? He had to come in. He wasn't even expected to play. So, I mean, shouts out to him for even coming in the game because he couldn't do anything.
And he knows the Jaguars better than anybody, because if anybody can't score in Jacksonville, it's Blaine Gabbert.
Right. Or he can't score anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who I'd rather have, Blake Bortles or Blaine Gabbert. I mean, pass, give me Luke Falk, the third-string quarterback from the Titans.
Or how about
that's a tough one.
That guy for the Saints, Taysom Hill or something like that?
Oh, the guy that returns kicks?
Oh. Yeah, the special teamer guy.
He's from BYU.
Hey,
he's like 30 years old.
Mohamed Sanu, he's a good quarterback.
Or better yet, you know, to bring it kind of full circle for a minute before we jump onto a different topic, because I do have a story that just involving Eric Reed. But we talk about the Titans, and we just said that Marcus Mariota, who keeps getting dinged up, who keeps not quite being the star everybody thought he would. Everybody thought him and Jameis Winston were going to be world beaters, and I'm sure they're egg beaters at this point. And then you go to Blaine Gabbert, your other one. You talk about Blake Bortles with his struggles. He's had some pretty decent games up until this week. Are the Jags and the Titans two teams that should look at Colin Kaepernick?
No. The Jags, maybe. Titans, no.
Okay.
You know. That's interesting because the Titans have Matt LaFleur, and he's a really creative offensive coordinator. He was under Sean McVay last year. I can actually see him doing something with Kaepernick. I don't think Tennessee's really the place to bring Colin Kaepernick into town, but
no.
I see where you're going there, yeah.
No.
But Jacksonville,
I think Jacksonville. I think he would. He's that guy, right? He's that guy that with. Can you imagine him with Fournette in the backfield? Oh man, that's that guy.
Yeah,
that's that guy.
That's a really good run pass option there.
I'll chime in, guys. I think out of the two teams, I think Jacksonville would be the best for him because they have a good stellar defense. He can do a lot with his feet and with his arm offensively. I think he could add a great burst to Jacksonville. I don't see Tennessee just because of the nature of their situation up there, and I don't think the climate is conducive for Kaepernick right now. But I do see Jacksonville. But, again, what have the owners – talked about and what have they all agreed upon?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, no one's trying to offer him a job. So again, we kind of get a window, if you will, inside of the NFL ownership's minds of what they think about him right now. Again, you know, this probably is a non-issue if he gets into Baltimore for the workout, but part of the ability to stand their ground, if you will, is that, well, he hasn't worked out. No one has seen him lately throw a ball, so what do we really know that he can do? We know what he did do, but what has he done lately? And so I think that's part of the general consensus as to why no one wants to pull the trigger, at least from that business perspective.
Right. And this is the last we'll say on Reed or Kaepernick, at least for the next 10 minutes or so. If I told you guys there was a team in the league that reportedly, this is coming from Mike Florio at Football Talk, if between him and Schefter, you know they don't make this stuff up. There's a team out there that offered Eric Reed a one-year deal in August. Any guesses as to who it was?
I would think Cleveland.
No. How about Pete Carroll and the Seahawks?
I can see that.
Okay.
They didn't know what was going to happen with Watson.
They almost brought Kaepernick in, remember?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And I could see that for Carroll. That makes sense. That makes sense for Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, again, but, almost bringing them in only means that he only recommended it.
Right.
Mm.
Kind of like you said in Baltimore, where it got past one level, but it didn't make it to the next level.
Correct. Well, it got past the GM and didn't get past the owner. Wow.
Right. Right. But let's see. We're gonna skip through a bunch of this because after spending this much time on a big topic, some of this other stuff's not big anymore. How about this? The Miami Dolphins are 3-0, and you can say what you want. They did beat the Las Vegas Raiders. They did beat the Jets, and they also beat the Titans, the team we just talked about. So I mean, your schedule is what it is, but of the last 11 starts for Ryan Tannehill, do you guys know how many wins he has?
3.
No, 11.
He's
10-1.
He's 10-1 in his last 11 starts.
Wow. Really?
And
Claude's a Dolphins fan over here.
Right. And well, Cody, you might know this one as well. Their defense, where does their defense in interceptions this year?
They're number one.
They are number one in the league. That defense is pretty good. They're not amazing, but they're pretty good. They're making interceptions. They're causing turnovers against other teams. Doesn't matter how good the teams are. They're still getting the interceptions. They're still getting the turnovers. And once again, we get an offensive-minded head coach who can turn a
Adam Gase
average quarterback into a game manager and start winning games.
Yeah, Adam Gase. That that was the thing about him. Yeah,
in a year where the Patriots are not their usual self.
Right.
They're kind of struggling a little bit out of the gate, which they always do. Of all years for them to put it together, the last time Miami put together a solid year, they won the division because the Patriots had their quarterback with a leg injury.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This is going to be an interesting year. I mean, mm-hmm. you're seeing that, I think, across the league in that, you know, all the teams that you thought – I mean, who would have known that Tampa Bay would have started that way? Or even Cleveland. I mean
– Fitzmagic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean – even watching Cleveland on Hard Knocks, and I'm a big Hard Knocks fan, I came out of there thinking, man, these guys might be something, you know? So it's going to be an interesting year, I think. Detroit beating New England soundly. I mean, we talked about those guys struggling. Kansas City, which, you know, shout out to Andy Reid. Obviously, he knows personnel. Because when he got rid of Alex Smith, I was thinking, is he crazy? And who knew Patrick Mahomes was going to do what he's been doing? So
he's
it's going to be a
junior.
Good year, man.
Andy Reid knows a Brett Favre a mile away, and he saw this kid 10 miles out.
Yeah, Favre it's going to be kid. Interesting. Yeah, in Atlanta. Thanks. We got rid of him, too. Hey, I wanted to bring this up, Jeremy. I know this is impromptu, but I wanted to make sure I got Coach's take on this. Okay. The rumor I've heard is that Green Bay is considering trading for Le'Veon Bell. Did you hear that?
Ooh.
Yes. And, again, I don't think that Pittsburgh is going to let him go. I don't see that.
Can you imagine Le'Veon Bell in Green Bay?
If it happens, it would be one of those miracle things. But I realistically don't see Pittsburgh letting him go. I think they might dangle him for trade bait, and they might have some what we call cups of coffee with some other organization. Right. Basically, see them letting him go. I think they'll work something out.
There's another team in green that's going to make a run at him, and that's the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. I've heard that they're a sleeper team to try to acquire Le'Veon Bell.
See, I know the Jets are trying. So, that's the main team I've heard, but I haven't heard anything about the Eagles.
Yeah. They're another team that runs. The run pass option with Carson Wentz.
Man.
I heard the Jets, and I heard Green Bay. Those were the two that I've heard.
Okay.
I think it would come down to Green Bay. I think it would come
Green
because he knows they're consistent playoff winning, you know, playoff contending team, And so with Aaron Rodgers up there, he most definitely can get a lot done, and that would be the burst that they need to the offense. I just don't see that. I just don't see the organization of Pittsburgh letting him go. And if they do, trust me, whoever gets him is going to give up a lot. If it's Philly, you're right. Carson Wentz is gone. A couple of second-round draft picks are gone. I mean, you're going to have to pay a heavy price to get him.
I definitely think so. Cody, I know you got to head out in a minute, so I want to move it over to our picks. I try to pick some interesting games because just some weeks, just some of the matchups, just I try to make these picks on Monday. By that time, we usually know how things are kind of spelling out. Quick update. Cody is leading the picks right now at 7-4-1. Coach, you are a game behind at 6-5-1, and Reggie, you are at 5-6-1. I actually stopped for some popcorn, so I'm hanging on for now. But, of course, we got some good games here. And for those of you on the text line who are lighting up the text, we appreciate the compliments and all the stuff at this point. And, yes, we will get to the Falcons game right after this. But, you know, let's start with New Orleans at the New York Giants. And, Cody, since you're ahead, why don't we let you go first?
So I was reading an email for work. Who are the Giants playing? I know this is embarrassing.
New Orleans.
No.
Saints.
All right. Coach.
I'm going with the Saints as well.
All right. Reggie.
Oh, I can't pick the Saints. I'm going with the Giants. I can't.
You're going with Big Blue? Come on.
Dude, I can't do it. It's against my religion to pick the Saints to win anything.
Don't get me wrong. I love Saquon Barkley, but I'm not going to pick the Giants to win a game.
I'm going to Giants. I can't do the Saints. I'm sorry.
Wow. Eli Manning over Drew Brees.
Hey.
All right. I don't feel so bad now because I could lean either way. The Saints have better offense, but they can't stop anybody. On the flip side,
right.
the Giants can't score on offense, but they have a pretty good defense. If this becomes an arms race, yeah, New Orleans will blow past everybody. But I just, for some reason, like this New York Giants defense. And I like them enough to where somehow they're going to win this game like 20-17 or something like that, some crazy. It's going to be low scoring, I think. So I'm glad I'm not the one all by myself that they would have messed up the agreement there. Reggie,
although
you're
doing, you're doing it from a much logical reason than I am.
I know why you're doing it. So,
right.
I know why you were doing it.
You know what, Jeremy? If I can chime in real quick on that particular pick, I think the difference in this game for New Orleans going into the Giants' territory is that they've done something that only a couple of teams have done earlier this year, and that's going to play the fifth quarter, which is an overtime game. And I think that is the one thing they have now under their belt that, you know, the Giants doesn't have under their belt. So, again, if they manage the game well, and they do, they have a head coach that knows how to do this. They can eat up a lot of that clock and make it difficult for that Giants offense to try to even score. And so I think that's where the difference is going to come in. Plus, having a kicker that has a leg like that is long range, kind of like Matt Bryan is with Atlanta, I think that's where the difference is, and that's why I give them the edge. It's kind of tough to pick against the Giants anytime they're at home, but those are my factors as to why I pick New Orleans.
Okay.
Outdoor stadium, and it's going to be windy and rainy this weekend in New York. So we'll see.
Yeah, but, I mean, if we're going to talk kickers, I can't pick against my boy Will Lutz down there in New Orleans. But as far as he's one of my favorites, not just because he's good, but, yet all that time at Georgia State. I've seen that guy kick in some of the craziest weather, and the weather doesn't affect him. But I still took the Giants. I think it's going to be low scoring. Coach, we'll start with you on the next one. We have the Baltimore Ravens traveling to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe this is Sunday Night Football.
That's another tough one, but I think with things that are going on, I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at home. I got to get Pittsburgh at home. It's just kind of tough to beat them at home.
All right. Reggie, who you got?
It is tough to beat Pittsburgh at home. But I don't believe that the Pittsburgh team that we saw that beat Tampa Bay is legitimate. I think that was – I mean, I don't think they're there yet. So I'm going to go with Baltimore. I'm going to pick the upset.
Are they – is Pittsburgh favorite in this? Wow. But
I don't know.
Yeah, I just I agree. I haven't seen enough out of Pittsburgh. It would be – you could easily take Pittsburgh out of this and put New England into this, and I would have the same exact take on it. I just have not seen enough in the most positive direction to show me these teams are who they've been in the last handful of years. I got Baltimore as well. I think somehow Joe Flacco is going to get it done, and I think they're going to be cruising enough to where Lamar Jackson may actually get some playing time. And then, Cody, who do you got?
Come on, I'm from Pittsburgh. Definitely taking Baltimore. Just kidding. Steelers.
For a second, I thought you were going to go that direction and actually say, I grew up in Pittsburgh. We're definitely not picking them.
I think the Steelers are favored by 3, by the way, because every home team usually gets 3 points playing at home, and it's Sunday Night Football.
Boy, that's going to be a good game, because anytime those teams get together is the same as if the NFC South gets together. The records don't mean anything until the end of the game.
No.
Those two teams are going to beat the crap out of each other.
They are.
Let's see. Reggie, we'll start with you on the next one. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs going to Denver to take on the Broncos. Who you got?
I got Kansas City. I think Patrick Mahomes is a real deal.
I got Kansas City as well, because not only do I agree with that, but as much as I want Denver to do well, or at least their running back too, for a lot of reasons, I still think Chad Kelly should be their starter possibly by week 6 or 7. So nothing personal to Case Keenum, but the more you can pile on Denver right now is the faster we get to see Chad Kelly. Cody, who do you got?
The Broncos are a 5-point underdog at home. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, a spread offense, Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill. Kareem Hunt's going to get going this week. Travis Kelce, who's slowing him down. Von Miller, love you, but you're not slowing down Patty Mahomes. Taking Uncle Rico and the Chiefs.
Uncle Rico.
All right.
Because he can throw football over those mountains. You know that.
He can. All day long. Coach, who do you got?
KC.
Well, then look at that.
Oh. Right.
It's funny because it's true.
And for those who haven't either listened a whole lot this year, it only happened once last week is all we've had it. Anytime we all agree on picks, you get to hear the fun Homer soundbite, even though it has nothing to do with us agreeing. It's good to hear Homer because I don't know that we're going to hear it anymore. Because the last game we have here, and this could be a good one. And I believe, Reggie, you said you're going to have a special guest in town for this game that we'll get into here in a minute.
I am.
The Cincinnati Bengals will be in Hotlanta. Just so people know, nobody really calls it Hotlanta, so we just do it out of mockery. In Atlanta this week will be the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think it's my turn to be up first. I don't know why, but I feel like last week was kind of a stunning shot. Like if that game was a heavyweight fight, Atlanta's not out of it, but they took a shot that knocked them a little weary for a minute. I got Cincinnati and Andy Dalton somehow pulling this off. Plus, I actually have to catch up and pick, so occasionally I have to be weird like this. Reggie, just to get it out of the way, which side do you have on this?
I'm absolutely going Atlanta in this. I watched Marquell Manuel's press conference, and I bring that up because I think Atlanta lost that game last week primarily because we couldn't freaking tackle, right? And watching his press conference let me know that that's going to get resolved. The Matt Ryan that I'm seeing now playing can't be beat with a defense that can hold teams to 21 points. I think that this is the game that they wake up and put it all together. And so I don't think Cincinnati can stand a chance against these guys. Not this week.
Okay. Cody?
Skype did it again.
Still with us? Apparently he didn't put enough minutes on his Skype account.
Right. So he's getting another pizza.
Yeah. He should, because we devoured that first one. Man, I don't know. What was that? Was that a Meat Lovers? Did that have onions on it? What did you guys have?
Wait, did everything I just say did not go through?
No,
no,
it
did.
The first thing you just said was the first thing we heard was what you just said.
Okay, Calvin Ridley, 3 touchdowns last week. Matt Ryan had a great game. I just feel like this is the week the Falcons really need this at home. I'm gonna take the Cincinnati Bengals going into Hotlanta to win this game.
See, sorry, there's Reggie. The curveball. We knew that was coming.
Hey,
I'll take AJ Green and Tyler Boyd.
All right, and the beige water pistol, right?
The redheaded pistol, whatever you want to call him.
Oh, that's what Cowherd called him. That's why I like that. Coach, who do you got?
You know, this one is tough. This one is really tough. And it's tough for me because Atlanta really needs this win. However, I don't know defensively where they are. They have a lot of injuries. They're going to have some new personnel on the field, and they're going to be pushed this week. But I'm going to have to say, I think Cincinnati pulls this off.
Ooh,
I do. I think that Cincinnati pulls it off because of the injuries, and I think Atlanta shot their load against New Orleans last week. So they need another week to recover, and I think that Cincinnati's going to give them a run. I think after Cincinnati they get better, but I don't know if they have enough right now to go out there and face the consistency of what they can do offensively right now. So
And to that point, I'll add this. Atlanta wins by at least 21 points.
Wow.
Well,
they're only 5.5-point favorite.
After we left you on an island there, I can understand that, Reggie.
No, I mean, seriously, I this team responds to that type of adversity, right? And they read everything. After talking to somebody, they read all of this stuff, right? That's why Matt's playing lights out in the way he's playing right now. He saw what Shannon Sharp he attributes his play to Shannon Sharp. Right, he saw mm-hmm. what Shannon Sharp said, and he knows that they're saying just this, but not even about Matt Ryan, because I think we're going to put the points up. I think, again, it's the defense, right? It's next man up, right? So Marquell Manuel, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see his press conference, but he was extremely spirited in a way that I can't imagine what went down in practice today. So I think we win by at least 21 points. I seriously believe that.
Sark is still the OC, right?
Yes.
That was my next comment.
Yeah, I'll take Bill Lazor in the Bengals offense.
It still doesn't matter. Sark told me after the Philly game in the airport, he said, give us – we're almost there. Since then, Atlanta's put up 31 points and 37 points consecutively. This hasn't been
yelling,
an offensive issue.
Was he yelling like he was at the
this
OC?
This hasn't been an offensive issue. No, this hasn't been an offensive issue. Matt's 9-9 in the red zone. I mean, this is an offensive issue. If Atlanta does, if New Orleans doesn't score before the half, that 3 points, if they actually touch Drew Brees and hit him on that touchdown run that he had, whatever that was, you're talking a very different game. This isn't on the offense. This is on defense. So
is Keith Tandy
this isn't a Sarkisian
safety?
Issue.
Is
who?
Is Keith Tandy still at the Falcons, the safety?
No. KZ is starting, and Richards, the guy they got from New England.
I only asked because Keith Tandy used to play in West Virginia, and I remember him. He was a ball hawk at West Virginia, and I couldn't remember if he was still at the Falcons or not.
And you've got Tack back. You've got Shelby back. So very different game. Don't be surprised. We'll talk about this next week. But I'm glad. I don't know.
Reggie, let
I'm
me
glad
let me
you
put
guys
this out
all
here. Pick. Just because you know we've talked about doing this on the show a lot. The kind of wager I'm gonna put up here. Do you want to do it publicly on the show or do you want to do it off the show?
Let's do it on the show, baby. I'm
okay.
Let's put it out there.
Okay.
Let's go.
That's like, you know, we all
all encourage each other to try to come up with these kind of things. But I'll take – let's see. Do you really want to set it at 21? You think you're going to win by 21, or do you want to lower that a little bit for the sake of this?
No, I think Atlanta wins by 21. I'll stay with that. I believe in them.
Okay, so if for the sake of the bet we're about to do, if they don't win by at least 21 points, you consider that a loss, right?
Well, no, I don't. But
not on the scoreboard,
but for the sake of the bet.
Okay.
Right, absolutely. Okay.
All right. Let's throw this out here then, and it'll probably require both of us to go to the store and actually have to buy one of these. But if the Falcons win by at least 21 points, then I will a Falcons shirt of some kind, take a picture, put it on social media or whatever, the start of next week. And then if the flip side happens, you'll put on a Cowboys would hurt you more, but the Bengals are involved. You'll put on a Bengals shirt next week because I think you have one, and take a picture.
Well,
up
yeah,
on the website.
Matter of fact, that's a great segue because I got Inky bringing me a jersey, signed jersey,
see?
This week, as well as Tyler Boyd is giving me a signed jersey this week. So,
dude,
yeah.
Hold on. Do you know Tyler Boyd? I met him a few years ago when I covered Pitt in high school football, and I got to know him. He's a really good kid. He's a really nice kid.
Yeah, he's the nephew of a very good friend of mine. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
And Icky will be down doing his. He was down with me actually with Carolina, and so he's going to be down again tailgating with us this Sunday. We're actually going to play golf on Saturday morning, and we're going to hang out a little bit on Sunday. So, actually, myself, Icky, and Coach Hill all hung out for my girlfriend's birthday, 40th birthday. Shout out to Linnea. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago, Coach?
Yeah, that would be,
I think
that'd
we
be
realized.
Great. And guess what? You know what we're going to do? I'm going to find somebody in that media over in Atlanta, and they're going to find Icky Woods. And every time that Cincinnati scores, he's going to do that shuffle. And we're going to get that on TV.
Oh,
well, here's the deal.
So I want to reach.
To the flip side of that, what seat section role that he's going to be in. I will make sure that you feed that. So every time Atlanta scores, I want that same camera on Icky.
Okay.
Deal?
Well, I think Cody has something to add to this, but Cody, before you do. Reggie, do you want to take it up a level that not only would we be wearing the opposing colors or whatever if we lose the bet, but if I end up in Falcons, then I do a video doing the Dirty Bird, and if you end up in Bengals stuff, you do the Icky Shuffle?
Absolutely. Man, I like it.
All right.
I like it, Jim.
I mean,
so I will wear a Bengals something and do the Icky Shuffle on video. I'll have Linnea take the video. So, yeah, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, Jeremy, I'm gonna add a cherry on top.
Oh.
Since we'll be together, what we're gonna do, we're going to have him show him how to do it correctly. So we will
this has to happen.
Gives him the proper instructions on how to do the shuffle correctly. So we'll make
I was about to explain to Icky what's going on with the bet so that he knows why he's teaching him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will make sure he knows this.
Well, Cody, I don't know anymore, but go ahead.
Oh, I will. Trust me, Reg. If you really, if you're really confident that the Bengals are going to lose by 21 points, let's put your money where your mouth is. If the Bengals cover, if the Falcons don't cover that point spread, I want you to dye your hair red in respect for Andy Dalton while you wear that Bengals shirt.
I don't have any hair.
Yeah,
you got 4 days to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the beard.
He has a beard, Cody. He has a beard.
I can't dye my beard red, can I? Oh, look, my girlfriend nods her head. Traitor.
Yes, you can.
You're supposed to say no.
Yes, we're talking about bright robin red.
Ooh. Wait a minute. So now these are all the things about what Reggie's going to do. Jeremy's the only one that said what he would do on the contrary. Coach Hill, Cody, I didn't hear anything from you guys.
I would be willing to put on something Atlanta, which you know where
you do that
where,
anyway.
Where I, no, I don't. I don't wear anything Atlanta to the games. Actually,
you don't.
That's true.
Actually, you don't.
You know what? I'll go to Kyle Shanahan's next press conference and hold a sign that says 28-3.
Ooh.
Oh wow.
Oh man.
Okay.
That may be the last one you've been invited to, Cody.
No, we don't want to put your job on the Jeopardy, guys. It's not worth that.
I think Kyle's over it. Well, maybe. He's pretty serious.
Well, he better not come here to Atlanta if he's over it. How's that?
Reggie, I will go as far, Reggie, as to allow you to videotape me as you instruct me on the intricacies of doing the Dirty Bird, the Reggie Elliott style.
And I want Cody, same thing. I need a video, Cody, of you doing the Dirty Bird. I like that all the way around.
All right.
I love the Dirty Bird celebration, even though the Falcons beat the Niners in that year when they went to the Super Bowl. I was a big Jamal Anderson guy then. Chris Chandler. I mean, I was like 10 years old, but.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's do it.
All right. There it is.
Right.
So, America,
right,
you guys have heard it.
I was about to say, let's recap that. So, basically, here's what happens. If the Falcons beat the Bengals this Sunday by 21 or more points, then all three of the rest of us, that's Coach Hill, that's me, and that's Cody, are going to do a video where we're doing the Dirty Bird. And I'll leave it up to you guys if you guys want to wear Falcon stuff on the first of the week. I'll be wearing Falcon stuff on the first of the week. If the flip side happens where either the Bengals win, as all three of us projected, or if the Bengals lose by 20 points or less, Reggie will be wearing Bengals something or other first of the week, where he will do a video doing the Icky Shuffle taught to him by Icky himself. Is that all the parameters?
That's the parameter.
What about the red beard?
Oh yeah, with the red, and then I have to come back with the red beard, obviously, because I'm pretty sure if I have to do it, then it'll be at the tailgate or after the game that I have to do it with Icky.
Right.
But I'll give my girlfriend.
I want it
to
be done
cool. Dye my beard red.
Cherry. I want it to be a cherry red.
Wow.
So get some Kool-Aid. Get some Kool-Aid.
Wow.
Tell a nigga, get some Kool-Aid, put it in some water, no sugar, and dye it.
Wow.
Wow. And two quick things, because I think we're gonna wrap it up here, because not only are we running short on time, but I don't think this show is going to get any better tonight than that whole segment right there. Two things. One thing. You know, we always talk about this kind of stuff, about upping the game on some of this. So I feel like weekly somebody's going to be calling somebody else out. It doesn't always have to be about Reggie and his Falcons. We can go different directions with it. But two, I really feel like we just took this to a whole nother level. This is the kind of stuff usually you only see on the damn Patrick show, and I think we just pushed all our chips in and said, you know what, we can do it better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Falcons, don't disappoint me.
I agree.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have any Falcons on any of fantasy teams. I probably don't have any Bengals either, but the Bengals don't disappoint me here. I need the you know what? I'm not going to call him the Bayswater Pistol. I'm going to call Andy Dalton by his rifle name. He is the Red Rifle.
The red BB gun is what we call
the red,
call them Sunday. The red BB gun.
The Red Rider BB gun.
Yeah, we need the Red Rifle to play like he's a horned frog and not like he's a Bengal, and really tear this thing up.
All right, guys, get ready to do the Dirty Bird. That's all I can say.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
This isn't the 2000s Bengals, Reggie. This is Marvin Lewis's Bengals, which means.
No,
they'll probably lose by 40.
No, it's better. This is not the first round of the playoffs, so I have faith in the Bengals.
Oh wow. Well, yeah, Vontaze Burfict might hurt us in this game. So, I'm not confident in anymore. I forgot he's still on the team, so he might do something dumb and they yeah.
No, it's too late.
I'm sticking with it. I'm not changing.
I just need my Dirty Bird videos, guys.
Hey, like I said, Coach, since you're going to be there with Reggie as well, make sure you explain to Mr. Icky Woods, not only a shout-out that he's awesome and welcome on this show at any time, but explain to Icky why he's having to teach the Icky Shuffle to Reggie, because I think you'll get a kick out of that.
Oh, that would be no problem at all. And, you know, again, going to what you spoke of, Cody, and hoping that we won't have any issues with players losing their minds, I think they probably offered them an incentive to make sure that it doesn't happen.
But like I said, I think we're going to go ahead and cut it because I don't think we can make this any better than it is. But
I agree.
But fantastic having you on again, Reggie. 2 weeks in a row. If you do it again, that's called a pattern. Apparently, as Tech sign is saying. Called a streak. There we go. It's the Major League reference. It's called a streak. Cody, thanks for joining us, and thanks for paying for that second wave of pizzas. We kind of ate the first one pretty quick. And Coach, it all falls on your shoulders to make sure that Reggie's keeping up his end as far as everything, the game with Icky and everything. So, as we see on TV, Thursday Night Football is about to start. So, for the coach, for Reggie, for Cody, I am Jeremy. We will see you guys next week. Go Bengals.
Ah, rise up.
There you go.
I got them shaking, they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate them blue in the face like John Zucker. I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't too sell. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?